Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, it's good to see you on this wonderful day. The Lord has been good to us and blessed. I think about all those folks that has been impacted by the storm. There's a lot of devastation, a lot of folks without air conditioner this morning and food and water. So we think about them as we come to worship this morning. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin. You see, we have many listed. Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project, support the veterans, Mondays 9 to 12. Bible study at the 3rd on Thursday at 10. Next Sunday, 7:30 a.m., the men's prayer breakfast. And that evening at 4, Tar Heel Builders will be here to present their plans on the fellowship hall. Deacon meeting on Tuesday, October the 8th, 6:30. And the Old Friends Band Tribute to Greg Smith will be on October 12th at 6:30 on Saturday. Address listed. And on Sunday the 13th, we're Pastor Wife Appreciation Day. October the 13th at 5 p.m. is going to be our official board meeting. Homecoming. So it's been another year, hasn't it? Homecoming on the 20th of October, Sunday. Official business meeting will be that evening at 5. Stew Fest coming up Saturday, November the 2nd at 5.
That's been changed. We moved it up a week. In the previous bulletin, it was an older one.
It's still Saturday, November 12th, right? Second. Yeah, the 2nd. Yeah, okay. At 5. Sunday, November the 10th, for lunch will be a covered dish meal to honor the pastor and his family. Everyone is invited. The Bill Gray Memorial Cook-Off. If you want to be a sponsor, see Joella. And anyone who would like to use the facilities here, see Donna. She keeps that. We have a card that says, "Dear church family, thank you so much for your generous support. It was a great surprise to receive after coming home from a day of teaching. This money will be used for classroom supplies and fun activities that we will complete throughout school year. We love you and your support mean the world to me. Thank you. Love, Katie Beth Hill." Do we have any other announcements?
Yes, I have something.
All right, go ahead.
I met with Hillary Lee at Pink Hill last week. And so next Sunday, I'm just giving you a week's notice, next Sunday after church, I want everybody that's interested in participating in the Backpack Buddies to come over here, and we'll try to organize what we got to do. Right now, she's identified 7 students, so I'm sure that's going to increase. We've also identified the nursery as the old nursery of the fellowship building that is going to be our workspace. So next Sunday, if you would like to participate, please, or after service, I'll remind you next Sunday, but after service, just meet on this wing over here. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, let's begin worship.
Thank you.
stand, church, and let's look in our bulletins, read together the responsive reading. Who among you is seeking the wisdom of God?
We long to hear God's words spoken to our hearts.
Who among you is seeking God's bright and holy truth?
We long to learn the ways of wisdom and righteousness.
Who among you is seeking a spirit-filled life?
We long to live lives of holiness and light.
God grants God's wisdom generously to all who ask.
Come near, people of God. Let us worship in wisdom and truth.
Father, it's an honor and a privilege to be here together with your people in your midst under the anointing of your Holy Spirit as we worship and sing and seek the truth that you have for us this morning. Bless us in ways we never dreamed possible. May Jesus be magnified and our hearts strengthened. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's remain standing. Turn to hymn 3. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Holy, Holy, Holy. Thank you. You may be seated. We have our scripture readings at this time by Ms. Linda Faye Jenkins.
We're fortunate today to be reading from a Psalm of David, and this is Psalms 19, and it's verses 7 through 14. This is reading, and the New Testament reading is from the New International Version. This is talking about the law of our Lord and the perfect revelation of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure. It endures forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more righteous than gold, more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing unto your sight, O Lord, my rock and my salvation and my redeemer. Okay, the New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. And this is talking about whoever is not against us is for us, and the temptation to sin. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us. Do not stop, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So
continue to worship as we pray. And I would remind us all about the names listed on the back of the bulletin. As you pray throughout the week, lift all of these in prayer. Are there any other names we need to remember this morning?
My friend Johnny Pinyon, back in the hospital in Brandon.
Johnny Pinyon. Johnny Pinyon, okay. Any others?
My daughter Karen, she's starting her radiation therapy. And also I got a back situation and I need to have some resolve to that. So I pray for God's answer.
Amen. Anyone else?
Jeffrey Kennedy.
Who?
Jeffrey
Kennedy, yes, in the back.
Also, remember my Aunt Catherine last month. She's in the hospital.
Okay.
And also, remember Larry Davis. He's in Greenville.
Okay. Any others?
Richard Moore,
okay.
Harry's going to have another treatment test Thursday in Greenville, so
Okay. Yes.
Remember all those from Melvin?
Yes.
Yeah,
a lot of folks still don't have power, yes. A lot have lost their homes, entirely everything. Remember those? Yes? Okay. Yeah, Bill had surgery and he's doing well.
My cousin, Claire Drum, she's a young mother and she's got a continuing debilitating some type of disease that's affecting her body. They haven't yet figured out what it is.
Any others? Let's remember these and pray with confidence and boldness. The scriptures tell us to come before his throne with boldness. And let's lift these needs. And don't forget to pray for one another. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for his blessings.
Loving because God, you are love, and we thank you for your many provisions that you give to us each and every day of our lives. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you give to us, the ones that we thank you for, and the ones that we do not. Lord, now we lift up the names that were mentioned, all the many names of the people in our church, people in our community, our family, our friends, Lord, we lift them up to you. We ask that you touch them in a way that only you can. Give them comfort and peace during this time, and we pray that it is done according to your will, Lord. Lord, and just thank you so much for being with us today. Your Holy Spirit is in this place. Move among us, be with us, and just help us to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. We love you, we praise you. In this and your Son's most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 598, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.
I gave my life.
pay you, but we come at this time to return a portion of that to you, and we just pray that we use it in a way that is pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name, we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture text today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Today we'll be talking about following the real Jesus. Mark 6, 1 through 6. We don't know much about the first 30 years of Jesus' life. But we know that many people who knew him during those years did not realize that they were in the presence of greatness. They didn't expect him to become the most famous person in the world. They didn't realize that he was anointed by God himself. He walked among them, lived among them, worked with them, worshiped with them, fellowshiped with them, and they had no clue about who he really was. In Mark 6, we see that others didn't recognize him as the Messiah, the Son of God, or even a great prophet. They saw him only as a carpenter, only as Mary's son. They thought they knew him. They thought they had sized him up, but he was nothing like they imagined him to be. So they never really took him serious. And as a result, they missed out on experience, the power and the blessings of God in their lives. Here's the story. It begins like this. It says, "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Today I want us to see how the people of Jesus' hometown, Nazareth, completely missed out on knowing and following the real Jesus. I want us to consider today how we can avoid making the same mistake. Good news, there's not but three things I want to point out this morning, all right? All right. It's amazing that these people here in Jesus' community, the people who probably knew him best, had trouble accepting him. And I wonder why. Maybe it was because, number one, he didn't fit their stereotype of greatness. Have you ever witnessed a nobody who tries very hard to be a somebody? Someone who tries to act like something they're not so that they can, so that others can like them, or so that they can fit in, or so they can appear far more superior or more intelligent or more religious, or maybe they just want something from you. Jesus is the exact opposite. Those trees outside, that sun that came up this morning, those clouds, he created them all. He spoke them into existence. John says it this way: all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the creator of the universe. He created us. And yet he entered the world that he created through a stable. He spent years of his life in obscurity in the backwoods of a Galilean village of Nazareth, working with his hands as a humble carpenter. Everybody knows a nobody who tries to act like a somebody, but Jesus was the opposite. He was a somebody who acted like a nobody. And because of this, many people in his hometown couldn't accept him. Mark said, "And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' And they were offended at him." In effect, they were saying, "What gives this guy to speak and to act like he's a prophet? We know him. We know him. We know his family. He's just a carpenter. He's just a nobody." And this was a major obstacle for them. They just couldn't get past it. The truth is that people are often attracted to an image and not to a reality. They want to believe in and follow the image, not the ordinary down-to-earth reality of who a person actually is. Conference promoters are familiar with this principle. If you can't get an expert, fly in an outsider, and everybody will think he's an expert. Bob is here tonight to talk with us about marketing. This should be good, because Bob's come all the way, flew in from Cleveland. People just get all, oh, boy, they all excited. Bob's coming. And this happens in Christian circles, too. Christian celebrities. We like to think that the Licatos and Swindles and Warrens and Grahams and all of the rest of them somehow are different than we are. You know, they're better than us. They've got a high-speed connection with God. You know, we're still on dial-up. We've seen it happen in Christian music with worship leaders. Somehow people think they can worship God better if it's Chris Tomlin behind the microphone instead of a nobody. And that's because our society today is just like the culture in which Jesus lived. We want celebrities. We want heroes. We want to worship an image. We're all not all that much different. On that day that Moses came down off of the mountain and they had created them an image to worship. And we think like this, it becomes difficult to see through the veil of ordinariness. The people of Nazareth couldn't accept Jesus because he didn't fit their stereotype. And many times he doesn't fit our stereotypes either. For those who expect God to be whatever you conceive him to be, you're going to have trouble with Jesus. You can't create him in your image. If you conceive him to be a Republican, you're going to have trouble. Or a Democrat, you're going to have trouble. If you try to make him into a motivational speaker or some new age guru or the original Dr. Phil, you're going to have trouble with him. It seems that everyone wants to squeeze Jesus into their mold and put him into their tiny little box. The real Jesus doesn't fit. If you develop your image of Jesus from any place other than the Gospels, you probably have some misconceptions about him. And that's why I've been challenging us all to rediscover the Jesus of the Gospels, to read the Gospels daily and know who Jesus really is, to discover him for yourselves. I hope this is going well for you. You know, in the Gospels, we see a man alive with the power of God. We see a man, Jesus, who cares for children, for the weak, and for the helpless. We see a man, Jesus, who has compassion on those who hurt, on those who have sinned. He shows mercy to those who need it, and he has little tolerance for arrogance and self-righteousness. You see how sometimes he speaks harshly. Sometimes he speaks gently. Sometimes he speaks not at all. Jesus sometimes is hard to pin down. That's why I encourage you to experience him in the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And since Jesus isn't easily stereotyped, we must realize that, number two, Jesus often is unfairly dismissed. You ever been dismissed before? You know what dismissed means? Dismissed. Yeah. You're dismissed. Fooled you. Through with you. Because Jesus didn't fit the image of the people of his home, that is, people in his hometown had in mind for what they thought a prophet of God should be, they dismissed him. Verse 3 says they were offended by him. And Jesus' response was, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his relatives in his own house. They were offended. They were insulted. They were upset. To the people in Jesus' hometown, he was just this local guy. He was just a kid that played in the streets. He was just a boy that had to listen to his mother and do what his daddy told him to do. He was just a regular nobody. They were expecting a somebody. And this is how people saw Jesus. Even though the risk for dismission, missing him, were much higher, his words were not taken seriously. And he wasn't given the hearing that he deserved. Because to them, he was just a local guy, nobody special, no big celebrity, no great king, just a carpenter, Mary's son, James's brother. And you know, they never really heard what he had to say. They never really cared about what Jesus had to say. And they just dismissed him. They dismissed his words as irrelevant. And so they did not praise him. They did not worship him. They did not follow him. And they had no testimony about him and his greatness. Even Jesus' own family didn't take him seriously. Mark wrote about the crowds following Jesus. And then he said in Mark 3:21, but when his own family heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said he is out of his mind. Can you imagine? People so close to Jesus having so little understanding. Can you imagine living right there with him, having him near you, being able to talk with him anytime, being able to listen to his teaching anytime, being able to follow his example and learn from him, not having a clue who he is. Them people had a problem, didn't they? But guess what? I don't think things have changed all that much. In this way, we're like the people of Nazareth. Sometimes we miss Jesus too easily today. Sometimes we allow ourselves to become too immune to his teaching. We find it irrelevant. And we dismiss it. We sometimes find ourselves not taking him seriously, not willing to follow him. The real Jesus calls for radical discipleship, total commitment, complete obedience. But many times we try to maintain a casual relationship with him. Jesus says that we will be forgiven the same way we forgive others. But we continue to harbor unforgiveness. Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes. Anybody ever had any doubt? Sometimes we'd rather cling to doubt. Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. But yet we often do our best to render to neither, even though they have a right to receive. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but yet we complain and act like there's never enough. He said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he said, he who believes in me shall never thirst. But yet many times we're satisfied looking at the things of this world to satisfy our hunger and to quench our thirst. We know his words. We repeat his words. Sometimes we're reluctant to believe and to act on his words. It becomes much easier to dismiss them. However, when you discover the Jesus of the Gospels, you encounter one who cannot be dismissed. One whose words are life and truth. One who must be followed at all cost. The great tragedy is that Jesus is often dismissed by those who should know him best. Church, we must not make that mistake. Because, number three, dismissing Jesus means you miss out on his power. Do you believe that Jesus can do great and mighty things today? Mark makes an interesting statement in verse 6. Now he could do no mighty work there. except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. At first glance, this verse appears to say that because of their unbelief, somehow Jesus was limited. As if Jesus was made weak because of their unbelief. But I don't believe that's it. This is it. Jesus healed those who were brought to him. Because of the unbelief of the people in his hometown, few people were brought. You get that? It wasn't that he tried to heal people and couldn't do it. It was that no one brought him people who needed to be healed, and he never had the opportunity. They dismissed him. You can't heal many people in a room full of empty chairs. Jesus could do no mighty work there because the people never gave him a chance. The helpless and the hopeless were not brought to Jesus. They stayed home. The sick didn't come asking to be made well. They were somewhere else. The blind didn't come asking to see. They had no one to bring them. The oppressed didn't come asking to be delivered. They just didn't come. They stayed away. And the scripture said that Jesus marveled at their unbelief. You see, when you dismiss Jesus, when you fail to take him seriously, you miss out on his power. The skepticism and the unbelief of those in Jesus' community made them and put them in a position to where they were unable to experience and witness the real Jesus and mighty kingdom power. Now, Jesus has made his power available to us all. He wants to fill your life with joy and peace and happiness. He wants to help you through your struggles. He wants to move mountains that stand in your way and defeat enemies that oppress you and overcome the obstacles in your life. He wants to help you with that. His power is available. So don't dismiss his words as, well, that's a pretty good verse. I like that verse. Don't dismiss his words as just religious talk or just wishful thinking. I challenge you to see through the veil of what is familiar and what is ordinary and what is some, and those things that prevent us from encountering the real Jesus and take him at his word. So in conclusion, hockey great Wayne Gretzky used to say, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. And there's a spiritual application to this principle. You get zero answers to the prayers you never pray. You miss out on 100% of kingdom opportunities you never act on. People in Jesus' community missed out on an opportunity of a lifetime. They could have sat at his feet and learned from his teaching. They could have served side by side with him, reaching all the people in the community that needed help. They could have learned from his teachings. They could have ministered with him, seeing the miraculous kingdom power of the kingdom that he was establishing here on earth. They could have praised him and worshiped him. They could have gave testimony to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But they dismissed Jesus as being a nobody, while they thought themselves to be a somebody. They didn't realize they were in the presence of greatness. They were focused on something else. They wanted something else different. They had no clue about who Jesus really was. So their church and their community, it was there that Jesus could not do anything great or miraculous. And he marveled at their unbelief. What a tragedy. Church, we must avoid making the same mistake. Don't miss out on knowing and following the real Jesus. Don't settle for the Jesus you think you know. Get to know the real Jesus and follow him. Read his stories, listen to his teaching. Ask him to make himself known to you. The more you know him, the more you can take him at his word. And the more you can experience his kingdom power every day in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word today. Teaching from Jesus and a great challenge to us. To be in touch with you, and to know you and to experience you. I pray your blessing on us all and our brothers and sisters here today. That we can know you in your fullness and follow you with our whole hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to turn to 311 in our hymnals. Stand and sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Again, we thank all of you for being here today as we worship. Thanks for bringing the spirit of love and joy. Don't forget the announcements on the 3rd, October the 3rd, at following worship, the Backpack Buddies, if you would like to be a part of that. There'll be a meeting following worship. You see the rest are listed. Are there any other announcements? Anything you'd like to say before we leave?
Hallelujah, what a
Savior. Mm-hmm. All right, let's bow our heads. Dennis, would you dismiss us?
Lord, we thank you for everything you do for us all the time. We draw near to you right here. Thank you for Joe's message, the words that reach our heart. Let us not be like those folks who did not recognize Jesus. Lord, we might be just like those people in his own family. Don't let us do that. Let us see him for what he is. Let us see him through the scriptures. Thank you for everything you do for us. Carry us through this week. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.